Morning. Thanks for attending the session. Thank you for the opportunity to present. Over the next few minutes, Brenda and I will give you an overview of our team's evaluation plan for really just evaluating overall innovative SNAP-Ed programming in LA County. So here we have no conflicts of interest. And as far as an overview, I'm going to talk about the background, the evaluation plan itself. Brenda will go into some of the highlights, challenges, and opportunities, and then I'll conclude with some next steps. So I don't really need to cover this slide. We all are familiar with SNAP, federally funded food assistance programming, SNAP-Ed, nutrition education, and now corresponding environmental supports, really encouraging low-income populations to eat healthy and be physically active. And together, the programs work to improve food security and prevent chronic disease. So in 2010, the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act was passed. That changed SNAP-Ed into a nutrition education and corresponding obesity prevention program, which included policy systems environmental changes, or also known as PSEs. And in California, they decided to implement this program using local health departments as lead local agencies in implementing the grant. And that's also known as the LHD model. So in Los Angeles, you can see obesity prevalence is around 22% on average. Well, it doesn't say that, but no averages. But overall, average 22%. If you include overweight in that, the percentage is up around 58%. But the point here is that there's higher concentrations in certain areas of LA. You can see the darker orange in this South LA, kind of the eastern LA and the northeastern valley. And then corresponding SNAP-Ed eligible locations kind of mirror that same target area. So that shows that overlap between socioeconomic status and chronic disease. And also, especially in places like Los Angeles, it plays into that idea that we need to have targeted programming in certain geographies. So here you see LA County is home to about almost 10 million people. It's a very heavily populated area. About 48% Hispanic, 29% white, 14% Asian, and 9% African American. Of that total, 3.5 million are SNAP-Ed eligible. And you see the number of Hispanic increases to 64% approximately. African American is about the same, and then white and Asian are about 15 and 9% respectively. In addition, 1.1 million out of the 3.5 million eligible are enrolled. So that tells us we need to do more work in terms of enrollment in the benefit programs. It's a frustrating statistic considering that the benefits are available, they're just not being utilized. And further, with food insecurity around 26% in children and 18% in adults, enrollment in the benefit programs is critical. So to address these needs, LA County was awarded $44 million over 4 years for implementation of the NEOP program. Really representing a unique opportunity within the local health department model to select the right mix of community-driven organizations and partnerships to facilitate delivery. So more specifically, our county put together a County Nutrition Action Plan, or CNAP, comprised of partners working specifically on CalFresh enrollment and food security. And we also engaged in an RFP process to select community agencies, 15 subcontractors, for certain NEOP categories for implementation, as well as two large educational institutions, LACO and LAUSD, for implementation. Next, we took a look at our obesity prevention strategies. The USDA recommends a wide array of obesity prevention strategies, and we grouped those together to kind of frame our approach. So in the first group, we have, school wellness policies and a variety of other categories, retail settings, policies in schools, and others. Next, we grouped availability and access to produce and healthier foods, market makeovers, edible gardens, increased EBT access, farmers markets, and other venues, and also physical activity programming, including joint use agreements and active transportation. So collectively, a wide array of strategies for implementation. Next, we took a look at the underlying health behavior theory, the socio-ecological model, which is part of the NEOP programming and requires, obviously, a comprehensive approach across a variety of settings. And we overlaid all of the NEOP strategies within the model. So you'll notice more interpersonal strategies like peer-to-peer and youth engagement at the more interpersonal level, and strategies that target access, such as work sites, retail, or faith-based settings, at the broader institutional level. So with our program strategy in place, we turned our attention to evaluation and keeping that SE model in mind. I want to give you a quick overview of the evaluation plan, and then Brenda will give you details on our projects this past fiscal year. So we started with the USDA evaluation framework. It's a great tool. It provides a variety of outcome indicators tailored to SNAP-Ed activities. It also frames everything within the model. The socio-ecological model provides an organized structure for tracking our progress. It was also written by Andy and his colleagues, so we know it's an excellent tool. You're welcome. So our main evaluation questions were, what are the reach and impact of NEOP programming? What are the competing needs or resources, facilitators and barriers to implementation? And finally, what are the potential benefits or limitations to our strategies? So to answer these questions, we first looked at the requirements, the USDA CDPH requirements, California Department of Public Health evaluation requirements. That included process evaluation using our activity tracking forms, impact outcome evaluation of nutrition education class series using pre-post matched pair study designs, evaluation of our PSE projects using the REAIM framework. REAIM is a great tool for tracking things like PSE activities. It stands for reach, effectiveness, implementation, adoption, and maintenance. I believe the link to the resource is reaim.org if you haven't heard of it. Also, I want to mention in LA, we have over 50 active PSE projects in over 150 locations, so a very broad array of projects that we're working on in that area. Oh, and I forgot to mention our CX3 projects as well, where we collect data from the built environment, and then we use that both for context and for mobilizing communities to advocate for healthy change. So in addition to the evaluation requirements, we built out some added projects that are part of that multi-tier plan to better understand NEOP's reach and impact across the various layers of the model, including environmental, population, and individual levels. So at the environmental level, we initiated context scans and inventories of public health projects happening in Los Angeles to better understand how NEOP fits into the landscape of obesity prevention projects. At the population level, we implemented two large periodic county-based surveys, the random digital telephone surveys, the LA County Health Survey, and the PHFB WIC survey, with questions tailored to a wider SNAP-Ed audience. And then finally, at the individual level, we conducted a few thousand intercept surveys at key NEOP strategies such as retail, small retail, large grocery stores, and faith-based organizations. So I want to let Brenda talk a little bit more about the details of those projects.
Thank you, Jack. Going back to Jack's question in an earlier slide, what is the reach? What are the competing resources? How do we understand what the impact of these interventions are in the community? And so, as Jack mentioned, we seek to address the answers to these questions through a multi-tiered evaluation plan seeking to address the various levels of the social ecological model. And one of the first was through our context scans. And the main point of these scans is to understand what the obesity prevention investments are in the region. And we actually subcontracted agencies to conduct two context mixed methods inventories. The first was focused on policy system and environmental change strategies. And the second was focused on community and clinic-based nutrition education programs. And these assessments, as part of these scans, they were limited to, but not, they used but were not limited to the use of environmental scans, stakeholder interviews, key informant interviews, policy tracking and analysis as they relate to strategic planning of federally funded nutrition programs. And in addition to these two context scans, I also want to point out that the CX3 was actually part a required evaluation activity, but we also use it to provide additional, we leverage the information collected as part of the CX3 tool to augment our understanding of what are some of these contextual factors taking place in the community. In the CX3 tool in particular, there's two tiers. The first tier is the GIS mapping, and it's a series of instruments and worksheets that are focused on supermarket access, transit to supermarkets, farmers market, fast food outlets, and use GIS to understand what resources are in the community. And the second tier of the CX3 tool is actually a on-the-ground field survey that is based on an intensive train-the-trainer model, and this also provides in-depth information. So the next component, so Jack also mentioned that we have augmented existing population surveys. So the first was our SNAP WIC, so Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, Women, Infant, and Children. And the second was our Los Angeles County Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. So for the first survey, for the SNAP WIC, it was a survey module that leveraged existing data collection efforts. It was an augmentation of our 2014 LA County WIC recipient survey, so our main survey. And it was a cross-sectional sample of about 1,500 to 2,500 participants that were recruited from the main survey. The main survey was about 5,000 to 6,000. And it was a random digit dial survey that augmented samples within specific sub-geographic areas by race and ethnicity characteristics. And some indicators include exposure to SNAP-Ed interventions, participation in SNAP-Ed activities, perceptions of sugary beverage intake, physical health status, barriers to consuming fruits and vegetables, and awareness of physical activity resources. And similarly, the second survey, the nutrition supplement module, part of the Los Angeles County Health Survey, also leveraged existing data collection efforts. Specifically, it focused on assessing utilization of SNAP-Ed resources, awareness of the Champions for Change, which was part of a marketing effort in the county, participation in other nutrition education activities, and location of grocery store purchases. These are just a few of the indicators. And while it's not a focus of this presentation, I do want to point out that there were other submodules related to other grant activities as part of the LACHS population survey. So we also asked questions related to our community transformation grant as well as our first 5LA. And I just want to point out, because in our division, we really try to leverage existing data sources to augment than information that we receive among these very at-risk populations. And similar to the WIC, the LACHS survey was also a random digit dial. Households were contacted from a land frame. Only one adult was randomly selected to participate. And by adding these questions to these surveys about SNAP participation, as well as knowledge, attitudes, behaviors, we were able to collect a variety of population data in a cost-effective manner. And similarly for work, it captures the data on a unique group of low-income individuals in the region. And next, so in terms of getting at the individual level of the socio-ecological model, there were two major sub-focuses. So the first was focused on our faith intervention, and then the second was on our retail intervention. And the retail is actually two components. There's the small, medium retail, and then which is more like corner stores, small shops, whereas the large retail is more of the larger grocery chains. And this evaluation focused on collecting information on individuals targeted by NEOP's NEP-Ed efforts in these two settings. And we also subcontracted two agencies to conduct these intercept surveys of about 1,000 to 1,500 individuals. In particular, we're currently working with UCLA to collect some of this data. And it's a cross-sectional for the environmental scans. Well, it's two components. So we're conducting environmental scans as well as intercept surveys. And they're taking place simultaneously. So when the intercept surveys, when our subcontractor goes out to conduct the intercept surveys, they're also documenting the surrounding environment to provide additional context related to, to better understand respondents, responses to the survey. And the intercept survey is a cross-sectional intercept survey, and as I said, it's about 1,000 to 1,500. And some indicators are in the survey are percent of low-income residents who believe their food environment supports healthy eating, participation in nutrition-related activities, self-efficacy in nutrition and physical activity behavior change. And in terms of the retail, some indicators are food purchasing behaviors, amount spent on weekly grocery purchases, et cetera. I won't go through the full list. And in terms of the retail program specifically, here's an example of one key valuation for our small, large retail. And as I mentioned before, one of the interventions is to do a market makeover, so basically to make healthy eating the easy choice for individuals. So that means pricing placement and promotion, known as behavioral economics, as well as increasing the availability of healthy food. And in terms of our evaluation, we contracted UCLA. As I mentioned, they're currently trying to collect about 1,500 intercept surveys in small retail, and about we have another subcontractor that's working in large retail that's also collecting about 1,500. In the short term, we want to assess whether small retail and similarly large retail policy system environmental change strategies are increasing, creating changes in consumer attitudes, behaviors, intentions to produce healthier foods. And as a more intermediate outcome, we want to know if changes in choice architecture, so for example, market makeover, also increase and encourage patrons to consume healthier foods and purchase healthier foods. And in the faith setting, similar intervention strategy is taking place. The goal of this strategy is to engage and educate community members of qualifying churches and culturally sensitive and relevant nutrition and physical activity education and promotion. Working with faith organizations has offered us with an amazing opportunity to connect with the, some of the more needier populations in the region. Currently, faith partners are tasked with providing nutrition education classes to reach about 15,000 church members across Los Angeles County. And we've also, as I mentioned, we've subcontracted with UCLA to conduct the intercept surveys in this field as well. And some evaluation questions are very similar. What's the impact of these NEOP activities in the church setting? What are some facilitators and barriers to adopting and implementing and sustaining these interventions in these targeted settings? However, most importantly, we want to understand the impact of NEOP activities among the church patron in terms of behaviors, knowledge, attitudes, behaviors, etc. And I'll just quickly mention, in addition, there's other components that are required by SNAP. So we have the adult food behavior checklist. We actually augmented it by adding a IOE survey module as well as a SNAP-Ed participant exit survey, and among the youth, it's a case control 100 match pair design in these among the adult setting and the youth setting. So now I'll turn it over to my colleague to wrap up.
Thanks, Brenda. Okay, I think we're almost out of time. I just want to mention a few next steps for our evaluation plan. Looking forward, we're planning to add in some additional mixed methods and qualitative analysis by looking at case study approaches of our CX3 mobilization effort and other NEOP strategies, including youth engagement peer-to-peer education and other approaches. We're also looking at systems modeling, quality improvement tools to guide program planning and ensure effective resource allocation. And taken together, I think, with everything we've mentioned, it's really an exciting time for SNAP Ed delivery as well as the corresponding evaluation plan. So with that, I just want to say thank you to Brenda and our team, and hope this has been informative. Thanks.